So everyone, it is 8 o'clock, 7 o'clock, 10 o'clock, wherever you are listening to us from. My name is Jeannie Fitzsimmons. I am the host and producer of Global Heartrepreneurs and the founder of Heart Wisdom Seminars and Awakened Heart. I've been teaching releasing work for quite a while, but tonight my guest is going to be sharing with you some of how that releasing work was developed. And we do have some calls and some interviews that we've put together for you that you can have where we go in-depth. But tonight will really be about our own heart, our heart of wisdom, our heart of awakening, our heart that can be found, the loving nature that we are, and the heart of the secret really is us. It is our ability to love, our ability to remove from ourselves anything that limits us, anything that holds us back from that loving. So what I'd like to start with, if you will, for a couple of minutes or for a minute, I will let you know we have a couple of housekeeping details to take care of. And one of them is that there will not be a question and answer session for this evening directly for you. But in a couple of weeks, if you will send an email with your most burning question about releasing, about a course that you've taken that you may have a question about releasing to help yourself release and clear something, if you're confused about anything and want clarification, we are happy to do that. And Virginia and I will be getting together. We'll be looking over some of these questions, and we're going to create a special teleseminar just for you in a couple of weeks. Another thing is, remember that right after this call, because it is instant teleseminar, that means right after the call, the recording of this call will be available to anyone who has come on the call and would like to have a copy of it for themselves, and also to remind you that anything that we are recording this evening is copywritten work, so it really is for only for those people who've signed up and registered, and then we will make this available at a very short, a little later time for those that would like to purchase this for themselves. So we do appreciate your honoring that, and we look forward to connecting with you. We have a lot of projects, and this is the first of a series of calls and talks that we will be doing. So I just wanted to let you know that. So if you do want to call and leave a burning question, you can do that. I'm sorry, email. You can email at Jeannie, J-E-A-N-N-I-E, at effortlessreleasing.com. And just send your burning question, and we will gather them. And very, very soon, we're going to have a special website just for that. So, without further ado, I would like to at least spend a moment of introducing my wonderful guest. And again, her name is Virginia Lloyd. Tonight is a very, very special night for me, and my guest on Global Heartrepreneurs is a wonderful woman, as I mentioned, named Virginia Lloyd. And it is with the greatest pleasure that I'm able to introduce her to you and you to her, and enable her to share her heart and her wisdom with you as we discuss and dialogue about Valentine's Day, beloveds, loves and losses, relationships, those special people in our lives, and maybe the part of you that doesn't have a special person in your life. But we're going to talk about various things and find out about Virginia. During the 1970s at the Sedona Institute, founded by Lester Levinson, Virginia Lloyd developed the Sedona Institute Basic Course, also known as the Sedona Method Releasing Technique. Now, many of you have known about letting go and allowing and releasing, and they're very popular. It's a very popular conversation. For instance, the Law of Attraction and the Secret, and many of those things are part of it. Now, I spent over a dozen years with Virginia attending her courses, and all of the special events and retreats that she taught, and even the special acting courses that she held in Hollywood, because she was an actor, a very, very successful actor in New York before she met Lester, and she'll tell you a little bit about that. And what we want to do is really let you know that this work was developed by a woman who had really learned the skills about emotions. And through working with her, I had tremendous growth, inner transformation and emotional freedom over these years. And I was very much liberated from being run around by my feelings, especially the suppressed and repressed feelings, and had many, many amazing and deep insights about freedom and happiness. Now, very soon after learning how to release and let go of unwanted emotions, and believe me, in Hollywood, that's a very necessary skill, both as an actor and as someone that's pursuing a career. And regardless of what your career is, the ability to let go is very powerful. My actor and musician friends, and especially my family, wanted to know what had happened to me. They noticed a calm that had begun to permeate from within me and to positively impact my life and my relationships, my career and emotional well-being, and they wanted it for themselves. So with great joy and enthusiasm, I brought the Sedona Method to L.A. in 1981 for Virginia and Lester, and coordinated the basic courses and high achiever trainings for celebrities and corporate executives. Now, before I introduce my guest, I want to let you know that this original releasing work, which Virginia developed, transformed my lives and the lives of many members of my family. And her original simple releasing work is now soon, finally, to be available again in its original form through Heart Wisdom Seminars. Her brilliantly simple and simply brilliant work, as it has appropriately been described, is what the Sedona Method, trademarked by Sedona Training Associates, is really based upon. Tonight, we will talk of love, of relationships, heartbreak, loneliness, true sweethearts, Valentine's, lost sweethearts, separated sweethearts, whatever it is that comes up in our conversation. But mostly it's about our very own self, because anytime we let go, that's what we discover. And no doubt Virginia and I will move through our conversation tonight. We'll have some surprises, because we don't even really know in form what we're going to be speaking about. We just know it's about love. But first, we will find out about Virginia, a little bit about her background, briefly where she's been. And we won't spend too much time on that, and we'll take as long as we do this evening, for this is my way of introducing you to her as my Valentine gift for and from my heart since we recently connected. So let's, at this time, learn more about the simplicity of this original releasing work, which is, again, being made available from Virginia and myself, along with many wonderful new events and seminars and projects and courses, special retreats and instructors training, all coming up this year. All right, so I think that's enough about how I came back a little bit in my background and why I feel very strongly to have her as my guest. From the Heart of Wisdom on Global Heartrepreneurs, Virginia Lloyd. Welcome, Virginia.
Oh, hi, Jeannie. Thank you so much. What a lovely introduction.
Oh, you know, you're very deserving of it, because right now if I had a camera on my heart, it's just beating and booming and just pulsing for the gratitude I have for the work that we've done together and all of those years that we spent releasing and sitting around a table and sitting in silence and really supporting everyone in their freedom as well. So I thank you for being here on the call.
It's really a pleasure for me to meet you again after all those years. I've really been living a very quiet life after I left the Institute, and I don't know, it was just lovely to get together with you. It was quite a surprise when you said you wanted to start bringing the work out again in the original four-day format. So that's very sweet of you.
Well, you know, I have found it really very powerful to stay with the original format of 4 days. And I remember, you know, Lester putting his hand up and saying, it takes 4 full days to reverse a lifelong habit of holding on to one of letting go so that we can develop that skill. And I have found in the years that I've been teaching and the private work and the advanced retreats, whatever it is I've done, I found that when people really have a solid foundation, they just do better. And when I really stick with what you designed and developed over all those years that really was an organic experience and expression through you with Lester's inspiration. I just find that it is wonderful for people, then they can soar. So I'm just privileged as can be to be able to talk with you again. And, you know, for the audience is probably wondering, wow, how did this happen? A phone call out of the blue to you. You know, I had thought about you over the years. I think it's been almost, 17, 18 years since we've seen each other?
I think so, yeah, just about that.
Because you've been in other places, living, teaching, and working in other situations.
I lived in California for a while, Santa Monica, and I was working. You know, I had a job in an office, and I loved it, actually. It was quite wonderful people to work with, and it was really very nice. So I did that for quite a long time. Then I moved to Phoenix to be near my younger son and his wife, and now I'm back in Sedona.
How lovely. The Red Rocks always feel like home whenever I've been in Sedona. I think it started in 1980 when I first came over there. It was beautiful.
That's right.
Well, you know, I wanted to just talk with you a little bit about how it was, what is it in your life that kind of stimulated and awakened your heart to really follow this journey? Because every one of us, and those that I've had as guests on my shows, I've always asked them questions about what was it that ignited your heart? What was it that caused you to shift and move in a different direction? What books, what mentors, what stimulated you to do that? What was your background in terms of your spiritual journey? Can you tell me a little bit about that? I've never really dialogued about what that aspect of your life was about.
Well, when I was an actress, I started as an actress since I was a child. I think I knew that's what I wanted to do with my life. And what actually happened was, as I got older, I married, and I married very young, and I had a son. And then the marriage broke up, and it was after that that I started doing some community theater in Pittsburgh, where I originally came from, that area. And finally, I decided that I really wanted to pursue it. I went to New York, and I studied with a wonderful Russian lady named Tamara de Kalhanova. And I studied with her for 7 years, and then I studied with Milton Katselis, who is now, I think, very well known. He's written some books, and he's teaching in California. But I studied with him in New York City and remarried, and that was just my passion. And eventually, I realized that the reason I wanted to do that, it came to me one day when I was driving to a rehearsal for Summer Stock, that what acting was all about for me, because I was very questioning myself all the time about the ego aspects of theater and acting. And I loved the work and I loved doing it, but I was always bothered about the ego part of it. And it was just a puzzle to me until one day driving to a rehearsal in New Jersey for Summer Stock, it came to me as I was questioning myself that what I was doing and what acting is all about and what performing is all about is really reaching out to the audience and letting them know that they're not alone. My thought was that when I stood up there on the stage, that what I was saying to the audience was that I knew how they felt about things. I know how you feel when your husband leaves you. I know how you feel when you lose a friend. I know how you feel when someone you care about dies. And that, to me, was letting people know they were not alone, that everybody had the same emotions, the same feelings, and that we were all one. And in that process, what happens in the theater is that the audience becomes one. And that, I realized with great excitement, that that was the whole point of acting, was to share. And I always knew that I wanted to share something that was inside me. I didn't know what it was. I didn't know how it would be. But I just knew that that was very important to my life, for me to share something from within. And then after that realization, I met Lester Levinson, who had been recommended by a friend of my husband at the time. And I went to a meeting, and he just said a few words to me at the end of the meeting, the general meeting. He asked me if I had any questions, and at first I said no, and then I realized I did have a question. And he answered it for me so beautifully. And from then on, I just sort of moved away from the acting and was more interested in the spiritual direction. And that's how I finally moved to Arizona, where he was, just to follow his teaching. And eventually started teaching. Anyway, I mean, it's a little more complicated than that, I guess, a little more detail, but in general, that's basically what happened.
Well, I appreciate what you're speaking about in terms of acting, because I, too, you know, you and I have a very similar background in terms of, I happen to be in Hollywood, you happen to be in New York, but we really had 20 or 30 years of very solid acting experience and worked with many wonderful teachers and masters of the craft. And I always found that there were areas of my life as an actor that I didn't really have access to as much as I would like to, and I didn't have the performances as fully as I would like to. And it was because there were certain emotions that I wasn't very comfortable feeling. And yet when I would let myself do that, or I was guided in a particular way to let myself feel and express, not judge it, and have it there for that character for a few moments, and then let it go when it was over, I found that I became more fluid in my life. I became fluid in my ability to perform or to play different characters and different roles. And there was something that happened when that synergy, like you're speaking about, that oneness that happens within a community of the public that is watching a performance. And I think you're right. Everyone whose eyes are on the stage, they want to be taken into the emotional life of those characters. They want to feel, and that empathy that happens back and forth from stage actor or film actor to those that are sitting in the theater, that we set aside our life for that moment and go in and see what it's like to be on the inside of that person. And I think it's beautiful.
Well, for one thing, what occurs to me is that what it is about is love. And I remember being in a nightclub once, not, I guess maybe 10, 15 years ago, and there was a band. And I sat there watching them, and they were rather older men who were not famous or anything. It was just like a local band. And I was there with some friends, and we were having dinner, and the band was playing, and I had finished eating, and I was just watching them. And all of a sudden, I was totally transported, because I realized why musicians will jam all night. And it's because that oneness as there as a group, all of a sudden that whole group was one, and I was one with it, and we were on such a beautiful trip, and it was just the love that comes pouring. And you know, Louis Armstrong, he had such a loving nature when he sang that he could be gruff, and you know, with his gruff voice and everything, but there was such love. And speaking of it, on the eve of Valentine's Day, I don't know, I suddenly feel like, yeah, I get Valentine's all the time from so many things. I feel like I'm constantly recipient of Valentine's, not all the time, of course, but much of the time.
Yeah, and I think it's true. You know, the more we can remain in that loving aspect of ourselves, and that we can live in the gratitude, and look at everything as something that is beautiful, and if there's something within us that sees something askew, to have the wisdom, the heart wisdom, to go back inside and say, what is it within me that's projecting any less than love on this situation or on this person or on this event? Or what is it that I may be taking personally that's removing me from that Valentine experience, if you will?
Indeed. Well, I found that sometimes, and you know what Lester talked about in the early days, he talked about squaring all with love. And I think it's so appropriate when you think about it that, you know, it's very hard, though, sometimes when people, you know, when you feel hurt at something that someone has done or someone has left you or whatever, the heartbreak, we've all experienced that. And I think if somehow, you know, they talk about remembering the good times and not the bad and not the, you know, not the parting, but to remember the good times you had with the person. And we're not always able to do that because of our despair at losing something that was precious to us. So sometimes it's hard to turn on the love in your heart, but if you can, it makes such a difference. And I think that, I don't know, it just feels as though that's the way that we can really unite with ourselves, because the love is always inside us. And sometimes we go looking for it somewhere else, and it's wonderful when we receive it. But if we don't project it, if we don't have that awareness of it, of the love in our hearts, and project that outward, then we don't even know that we're loved when we're loved. I mean, I've had a lot of people that have been on the classes and so on that felt that somebody, their husband or their boyfriend or their girlfriend or their parents or whatever, didn't love them. And when we got down to it, what was really happening was that they weren't experiencing love in themselves. They were resenting the other person or whatever, but that puts up a block against loving and receiving love. And sometimes we think somebody doesn't love us, and they really do when we finally get the cobwebs out. So it's just an interesting topic to me. And I have, you know, we all have problems now and then with finding the love in our hearts. You know, when the neighbor gets mad at you, or, you know, your friend doesn't answer your phone call or whatever. And it's not always easy, but I always try to find it there and see if I can love them anyway, even if they don't love me, which sometimes is a challenge. Or maybe
no,
I should say it's always a challenge.
No, I agree what you're saying, and I think what we're often looking at is the loss of the self-love. And when the self-love is lost, it's very difficult for us to be able to see the love in others, because we're feeling depleted somehow. We're feeling a loss of our own.
Well, I think of it in a way as not, yeah, I guess that's the way you could say it, that we're not finding it in ourselves. We're shutting it off, really, is what happens. And it's hard to realize that when you're in pain.
Well, that's the beauty, I think, of what you developed when you first started, you know, organizing this work and structuring it, is because you had such an intimate relationship and understanding of our emotional life, our emotional well-being. And the emotions I have found for myself, I know part of when I originally took the course, I took it because I wanted to be able to be fluid in my life, but I didn't want to be run around like a chicken with my head cut off with, you know, unmet and unwanted and, you know, emotions that were running amok and making me act as if I was a puppet to them. And I found one day I just made a very strong decision. And I think that part of my work as an actor is I was free to express all of those emotions, but I didn't really have the kind of inside sense of self-worth or self-esteem or peacefulness within myself when I wanted to after the director said cut. I could play it, but I didn't know how to be it. And there was a big distinction between those places.
Yeah, well, I think my acting background, because I studied so much and really did work and did scenes in classes and explored all the emotions, all the human emotions. I really did that for many years and until I felt comfortable with everything. I even started singing, which was a real challenge because my friend that I used to get up and in my acting classes when I didn't have a scene to do, I would get up and sing. And I would try to connect directly with the people I was singing to. And it was, my friend used to tell me that she thought I would fall over because I was shaking. My whole body was shaking. My knees were shaking. And she said, Virginia, I didn't think you were going to get through that song. But I just made myself do it. And that, too, was another exploration of this lovingness. Because when you're acting, it was my experience anyway, that when I was acting a scene or in a play or whatever, that I was really connecting with the other actor. But when you're singing, it's a whole different thing because you don't have a character to fall behind, to hide behind. And so I did it as a challenge to myself. And a friend and I used to, after acting class, and we were both, involved in all the different aspects of it, and she and I would go to her apartment in New York after the class, and we would sit opposite each other, and she would sing a song directly to me, eye to eye, and then I would sing one to her, and it was really so freeing to be able to do that, and it just really opened up so much for me. And what I was thinking, too, was that in terms of opening the love channel in yourself, that what I found is sometimes I feel really cranky and I don't be nice to anybody. But what I found helps is that sometimes I just make myself smile anyway. And I remember that it really does help, but I remember Paramahansa Yogananda, something I read of his years and years ago, was that he said, if you have to go out, if you can't put a smile on your face, don't go out the door. Because why should you take all your, all your negativity or whatever term you use and dump it on other people? So anyway, I don't always succeed, but I do try to do that. Just put a little smile on once in a while if I can, and maybe just say a friendly word to the checkout person or something.
It's true. I had an experience today, as a matter of fact, with someone that I was working with, and it was one of those things where I had some detail and specific things to handle, and it was technical support. I've had a lot of technical support things in the last couple of days because I'm doing some new things, and I found that I was so enamored and playful and had such a good time with them, and one of the gentlemen had just gotten engaged the night before, and another woman that I spoke with yesterday or this morning as I was driving 8 hours today, all of a sudden she was lighter and freer and happier as we were talking, and it was very light. And I find that almost with any relationship, you can find that access point with people to lift them, to love them, to support them. And that, it's like bridging that gap from any sense of separation into that oneness that we would do maybe when we were on stage, but we can really do that with each other all day long, just like you said, with the checker. Everyone can be our Valentine as we go. Everyone can really be our sweetheart. And
indeed,
it feels to me like I get to learn every day how to turn every situation into that love, into that depth of oneness that really everyone is everywhere I look. And
you know,
it's gone from now from the acting world into the training and seminar and teaching world or the interview world, but it's the same. It's, for me, it's about connection.
Well, I think, too, that sometimes we want to change people. We want them to do what we want them to do, or we think they don't love us enough, or, you know, that kind of thing. And I think sometimes if you can just look at that person, and anybody listening here, if you can think of somebody that you care about but maybe you're having a problem with, or there are things that you don't like about them, if you could just look at that person and see them for the pure spirit they are. And sometimes it's hard, but I think if you can do that and accept that person with all their flaws, because, you know, we all have flaws. Nobody's perfect. And we expect other people to put up with our flaws, but don't make me put up with yours, you know what I mean? So I think sometimes if we can just look at that person and in just make a mental shift of, gee, I wish they weren't like that, into how would I feel if I wanted them to be like that? Wow, maybe that can shift something in you, or if they're doing something that you don't like. I remember one woman that took the course with me, and she said that there was something in one of my books that just turned her around, and what it was that her husband had been sick, and he was upstairs, and she would be downstairs, and she'd given him a bell to ring so that, you know, if he needed something. And she said, after a while, I got so sick of hearing that bell, I wanted to kill him. And she said that something that I had said in one of my books was, how would you feel if you wanted him to do that? And she said, all of a sudden, the whole thing changed, and she began to love doing things for him, and she didn't mind being interrupted. And that might be just a little exercise that people could try. I mean, when somebody's doing something you don't like, how would you feel if you wanted them to do that? And if it would be okay with you? It's just amazing how those subtle shifts can change everything. A whole dynamic of a relationship can be shifted and changed with just little things like that.
You know, I experienced that myself, actually, and I think any people that really learn how to release, and I was fortunate enough to take it at that time when it was over the 2 weekends, and which we're resurrecting and recreating again together. But I wondered what was going to happen on the week in between, and I went up to San Francisco because it wasn't taught in L.A. at the time, but I just found that so many things were going awry in my life, and it was impacting me so much, and my heart was breaking, and my husband and I were breaking up and going in different directions. I wanted more of my career, and he wanted more of a stay-at-home person to care for his stepsons. And even though there were a lot of mutual aspects and there was so much love there, we were just going in completely separate directions. And I think that sometimes those kinds of changes feel so deeply wounding to us when we do love someone and yet our life needs to move along, or we need to go somewhere else and we feel like we're getting torn apart. And what I found is, and it was actually kind of right around Valentine's Day period, and I went up to San Francisco and I learned how to understand and look at the releasing work and the letting go work as you designed it. And then that 5 days in between, I just walked San Francisco. I had conversations with friends. I was staying with friends. I was working on a script, so I was rehearsing with a character. I had a lot of things that I was doing, but I kind of bounced around practicing and learning it. And then when I went back the second weekend, it was like, oh, my gosh, what am I doing? What did I learn? Everything's upside down. It's like you spend your life. This is my experience, Virginia, and I've never shared this with you. But it's like all my life I was walking north, and I knew how to walk north. And then suddenly I learn how to let go and my perspective shifts and I see my motivations and I learn that I can uncover more of my own love and I don't have to hold on to the unwanted or negative emotions. And suddenly I'm walking south. Well, south is very unfamiliar to me, but I'm going in such a different direction, but it feels so wonderful. And then there's something will happen and trigger me and I want to walk north again. And
exactly.
then I'll turn back and walk south again. And it's like practicing making that real U-turn back to what's working rather than what's not working anymore.
Right.
And I think that's the beauty of it for me, because that's what shifted all of it. It's not only shifting our perception and perspective, but I found that there were times many years ago, and I took the course about 28, 29 years ago, I found people would come as I was sitting and doing some work or letting go or having a cup of tea or writing poetry, and people would come over to me and say, "What is it? What is it about you? I just feel like I want to sit down and talk with you." And I've had a lot of friends and students and fellow releasers say that to me. They say, you know, when I'm really letting go, when I'm really feeling loving within myself, doors open, spaces open, people call, jobs happen, things work. There's just a harmony. It's like as if all the tumblers line up and everything just becomes in harmony within ourselves, and then it reflects on the outside too.
Yes, yes, it does, because, I mean, this is not new, this is not big news, but what we project is what we get back. It's like, you know, it bounces back at us. And I wanted to comment on something you said too, Jeannie, about being so devastated. And what it did was forced you to take a look at yourself and what was happening in your life and what was really going on inside you, and it forced you to kind of find a solution or something that would help. And I guess what I'm trying to say is that we all suffer heartbreak and we all suffer lack of love and things like that, but what I was thinking was when something happens, if you look for the gift in it, because the gift of that despair and that breakup was that you found a way to help yourself in all matters of life.
100%. And I feel very often, and I have actually connected with my ex-husband a few times over the years, and the gratitude, the thing that has left with me and everything that happens now, I realized that the only way that I could move from my head to my heart was through my knees. I know that's a funny image, but it really
through was. Through your what?
Through my knees, through humility.
Oh, I see.
Through surrendering my ideas, through surrendering my judgments, through forgiving those that I perceived may have hurt me, through all of those things that may limit us, that may make us believe and take things personally. And it's absolutely true. I think sometimes the deepest sorrow and the deepest pains in anyone who's listening on this call, if you're in the middle of some kind of experience or emotional or sense of lacking or a missing of a partner or wishing you had your perfect sweetheart, that sweetheart starts right here, and it starts right here within us. And I found that I really spent a lot of time alone finding my own answers about my life, waking myself up as much as I could moment to moment. It's like a self-enlightenment system, if you will, and I've never really described it as that. But the way that you designed it based on your wisdom and knowledge and direct experience of the emotional life and our emotions, and how all of us are the same around the world, that was the key for me. The key is also letting go, but it was the ability for me to identify and access and look at and discriminate what I was feeling and to let that get out of the way so that I could feel love again.
Right.
And that was the power that happened.
By the way, who's your Valentine?
Who's my Valentine?
Yeah, I mean, tomorrow's Valentine's Day. You must have a Valentine.
Yes, my Valentine is David.
Yeah,
my friend David. I met David about 4 years ago, and we like to jokingly say we're getting to know each other. And I think that's really true in light of both of us releasing. And I was teaching and doing an advanced retreat at that time 4 years ago up in the Bay Area, and we met, and 2 days later, he was in my two-weekend session, my two-weekend training.
Yeah,
and
well,
he has been releasing ever since then. And the reason I mentioned getting to know each other is I feel, after all these years of letting go and the recognition that I have about how I perceive and see things and help others to do the same, I find that it is a moment-to-moment, moment-to-moment, day-to-day, cleaning the slate, letting go within myself, always clearing and purifying within myself to come back so that I can come and be with him ever fresh throughout the day, regardless of the circumstances. And it's not without stress, and it's not without deadlines and demands and things that we're doing. We have a lot of projects that we're working on. But it is the ability to let go and clean the slate, let go and be now. So I am so grateful for this sweetheart, but the sweetheart starts with me, and the more I am the sweetheart with me, the more he can be the sweetheart with himself and with me, and that really makes all the difference. Who is yours? Turnabout's fair play, you know.
Well, I have a few favorite Valentines.
Okay.
I have a 16-year-old grandson, Dylan, and he's so beautiful. What a beautiful soul he is. Just a wonderful, wonderful young man. And then I have another sweetheart who is my 2-year-old granddaughter, Bridget. And I think right now those are my two favorite sweethearts of all.
And well, I have to tell you this. Since I reconnected with you in the last month or so, unexpectedly, I see a sweetheart when I look in your eyes, because we look at each other and I recognize the love that you are and the love that I feel for you and have felt for you from the very beginning. I look at you as such a profound mentor in my life because you taught every course, every class. I mean, you've developed all of them. And I realize 4 times a year I was there with you. We went through so many things over the years, but it's evergreen. You've given me is evergreen, and it's eternal. It pulls back the curtain. It's kind of, that's what it's like. It pulls back to the curtain on our eternal nature, on our eternal Valentine.
Well, yeah, it does do that, doesn't it? It's really quite profound. Without preaching, it's quite profound. You know, it's not a religion or it's not anything like that, but it is a way of life, really, that opens you to your finest hours and your finest self.
Yes, I think so, too. It opens up to our finest being, the very highest.
I just want to say, too, that for most people, it is so hard to love yourself. And I would suggest to anybody that wants to try it that the thing I suggested you do with someone else, like, you know, well, I wish they wouldn't do that. Well, how would I feel if I wanted them to do that? Why don't you try that with yourself?
Oh, absolutely.
You know, you might be doing things or feeling a certain way. Well, maybe you're feeling a certain way. You might just ask yourself, well, how would I feel if I wanted to feel this way? I mean, I think it could be very enlightening. Or how would I feel if I wanted to do, if I chose to do this rather than thinking I have to? And I think maybe it might be helping you to start loving yourself more, too.
You know, one of the processes that I went through years ago when I was taking the course is I made a list of all the things I had to do. I thought I have to, ought to, should, had better, or must. And each of those words have a little bit of a different energy about them. But every one of them was kind of wiggling its finger at me as if I needed to do a certain thing in order to, you know, be loved or in order to feel like I was okay. And when I made a list of all of these things that I had imposed upon myself, and I went through each one and I let those go, and I just surrendered those, and I just let go in whatever way that I could, and then in the way that you taught me and that I was taught to do, they just popped away and moved away as if they never existed. And the beauty I love about this course, not only is it elegant and beautiful and simple, but it's vast. And I found that if I could let one thing go in one area, and it seemed, and I know it does, it lets go of things across the board in whole other areas. And the only example I can give is when I took the course, my brother took the course, and I know you and I have talked a little bit about this, and then my mother transformed. My brother and I took the course, but my mother transformed. And we were awestruck by that. And all we were doing was releasing and letting go of our own feelings toward another member of the family. And we can do that. Anyone can do that by letting go of their feelings toward their boss, toward their ex-husband, ex-wife, partner they may have just broken up with, a stepson, something that they're going through. And if they let go of their feelings, or if that person, if like you said, if you want that person to be the way they are, suddenly we just have a twinkle in our eye and our lift in our heart. And we are open. Suddenly our heart's open. And I love some of those simple processes that make huge changes in our interactions in the world.
Indeed.
Well, I wanted to just let everyone that's listening know that we are going to be doing some basic courses again in the L.A. and San Francisco and Sedona area and the San Diego area, where we're going to do the original releasing work that you developed in the two weekends back-to-back to really give people a profound foundation. And then there are some courses that you're going to be teaching again. You mentioned you really were excited about teaching the programs course again. That was one of your very favorites, and I know I've taught that a few times, and it's just a stunning training. And we'll be co-facilitating some things and some seminars and some retreats. And we've got some other things up our sleeve that we're not going to talk about yet, but we do have classes starting coming up in March and in April, so and in May. So we have some wonderful events coming up. And I'm going to be giving a free day because I just finished teaching at the Amazing Women's Day here in Los Angeles. And I just found that the simplicity and what people are asking about, and it doesn't matter if people have taken releasing elsewhere, any releasing anyone does deepens and expands it, deepens and expands it, and we just find more and more of our loving nature. So there's plenty of room in the sky for everyone, and that's what I love about letting go. Letting go is really for everyone because it's natural. So I'll be doing some things coming up, and that'll be on the website this next week. And I just wanted to see if there's anything else that you wanted to mention in terms of loving ourselves or sweethearts or breakups or relationships. I have found in my classes and in my retreats that I've watched relationships transform before my eyes with partners that thought they were going to say goodbye. And instead of saying goodbye, they said, "Hello, I haven't seen this part of you since I fell in love with you."
I've had similar experiences when I was teaching the classes. I guess what I would say for Valentine's Day is hugs are good. And I think if you can give somebody a hug, and especially give yourself a hug, I think that'll help a little. Or a lot.
The power of the hug and the power of letting go.
Right.
I love it. You know, it is a hug. You know, there's something about a hug. And I know in a lot of networking organizations, people like to hug where their hearts meet. and they call it the heart hug.
And I know, somebody just told me about that the other day.
It's very sweet. You know, there's a certain way that we as humans kind of embrace each other. And then when you change it and you place your head on the other side of that person's head and your hearts touch, there's something very sweet about it where you know you're doing an intentional heart hug.
Right.
And that's just a very sweet thing. So
I've known people that count their hugs. I've only had 8 hugs, and my quota is 10 a day. So hug me again.
That's very popular, too. Another thing I think that's very helpful on Valentine's Day is I think it's important to acknowledge to the people that we love that we love them.
Oh, yes.
Indeed. I feel that, you know, when I really sit down, both in my letting go, my natural letting go work, or very focused work if something arises, I find that it's a way of life. It's been a way of life for a long time. But I find when people take a time to think of things they're grateful for, think of people that they love, and acknowledge those people. And if anyone that's listening is feeling like there's any lacking or anything missing or feeling sorry for themselves, because I know that's a very easy thing to do when we feel like we don't have the love of our life or that soulmate question, the one that's going to last forever. The only one I know that lasts forever is the love within myself for my divine soul. But if I can live there and love from there, and remember to acknowledge those people in my life that I love and give them that acknowledgement, it lifts me. And that's something I think would be a great Valentine's gift for all of us to give on this tomorrow, this Valentine's Day. Any other suggestions you might have, Virginia?
No, I think that about covers it. That sounds lovely. Give them a call, whatever.
Remember them.
I sent cards to my 2 Valentines.
You did, huh?
I did.
Well, I know I opened one and wrote on one this morning myself for someone. And, you know, it's fun to stand by the racks and Valentine cards. Now, if anyone listening has not gotten out there and gotten their Valentine card, you know, buy 2 or 3 of them that you just adore. And this I did last year. And I usually do an evening's releasing workshop on your true sweetheart, and that's what we're doing this evening. But one of the things that I recommend is go to a card store, buy 4 or 5 cards that you just love and adore. You don't even know who they're for. And then go home and sit with each of them quietly, read what's inside, know where it struck you, and see, who would I send this to? And
that sounds great. And if I might just add, please send one to yourself.
Oh, that's a great idea. That instead of it's a send-in card. It's send to oneself card. I love that idea.
Yes.
So, Virginia, you and I are just starting a series. We've already produced one. We actually have several, but we're going to be having one, which is Intimate Conversations with Virginia Lloyd from Global Heartrepreneurs. And we had a blast doing that because we really got into your background and how you met Lester and what he said and what changed your world and things that you've learned along the way and what you've been doing. And we've actually given some tips about letting go of resentment. A lot of tips on that interview that we gave that's going to be available this next week. So if anyone would like to continue, please do sign in, opt in, tell your friends. We're going to be here next Wednesday evening, same time, same channel, as they say, and we're going to be dialoguing again about letting go and letting go of obstacles and blocks and imagine things that keep us from being happy, successful, and free. So, Virginia, you have the last word.
Well, I guess I could just say love, love, love is the answer.
Thank you so much. And I want to thank you all for listening. Please do email Jeannie at effortlessreleasing.com because that's really what it is. It's really getting back into that effortlessness of loving, of being our own true loving nature and sharing that with everyone and letting that love radiate out to others. So in a couple of weeks, we'll have a Q&A. Just please do have your one burning question so that it's easy to ferret through them. And we will make, we're going to be having a membership site. I will be putting the upcoming dates for the trainings. We're going to have at least once a month training. Virginia will start teaching instructors again late this summer or early fall for those that are interested in learning this work and may want to take a look at the potential of sharing it. And she'll be teaching and training again and training instructors so that we can radiate more and more of this out with this original work. So I want to thank everyone from my heart to yours, from our Valentine of love to your Valentine of love. Do share the Valentine, and remember, as Virginia suggested, send one to yourself. So many blessings to all of you. The call will be up for you shortly, and we will see you on the call next Wednesday. So much love to all of you. Good night. Good night, Virginia.
Good night, Jeannie, and good night, all. Thank you for being here.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.